How do you run, like you said just then, that this new project, you're doing it a little bit differently. With regards to like the Alchemists and maybe any other bands you've run, how did you, or do you, like, you know, are you fully in control of the band and organise everything, and sort of everyone has a say? Yeah, but
I still organise everything. I just think I'm a bit more patient. I'm, you know, it's not just like, let's just get work done. It's, you know, you're also friends, and even sometimes business mind is like, I just want to talk about the band. What's next? How are we doing stuff? What's the next goal sort of thing?
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes like someone just needs a, how are you, man? Like I've had a bad day. My missus broke up with me, or, you know, something like that. And kind of, once you get to that, and then you get to rehearsal and end up having a jam just because you like playing music together.
Yeah.
And then the next day, that person, let's say Tom, chat out to Tom, he's a keyboard player inside us with the band. And he's such a good producer as well as a keyboard player. So he's a blessing to have in the band. He does all the production. You know, and then before you know it, he's had a tough week, and you say how are you, and he's just produced all the work that you need. So, you know, I don't know, just being super nice and being there for your team is
that's the thing. You never know what someone else is going through, even if they're hiding it, you know. And if you just come in with a bit of an attitude of like, let's get this done, and it doesn't seem like you care, maybe. I'm not saying you, I mean just in general. Like,
definitely, like, in my head now, it's like, I'm hoping the guys from the Alchemist see this and say, like, this is me being a bit of a twat, or I have been a twat, and I'm recognising that I've been a bit of a twat. But, you know, it's, you know, you just deploy patience.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. You got to, definitely. And it's all a learning curve as well. Like, I'm sure you've learned so much from the Alchemist and running that, and how things have gone, that you'll apply and change differently into the new project and stuff.
Like, obviously, I don't know if you know a guy called Gary Vaynerchuk. He's a big big entrepreneur type dude. Mm. And he always kind of talks about giving up on, he was meant to invest into Uber and all that stuff. I mean, he essentially lost money, and he just says, look, don't look back as a thing. And, you know, there were so many times with the Alchemist we could have acted, and there were so many gigs we missed just because we just didn't act fast enough. Mm. And, you know, I could get the guys together when we needed to. And I try and ask myself why that didn't happen. But, like, with the new band, like,
How do you find working with like Depps then? Again, it could be from the Alchemist or something like that. But how have you found like
Facebook groups and messenger recommendations? Mm. They're the big ones. Like, we've got a list for the Alchemist now.
The people that know your repertoire and stuff. Like, they know your repertoire a bit.
Yeah, that's it. We definitely have had some bad Depps.
Mm.
You always got to try and get them in for a rehearsal beforehand.
Mm.
Definitely. But it's a bit frightening, like. But I mean, even when I dep for people, I hate depping, but I have to do it just to fill the calendar, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But soon as you've done that first gig and you get, oh man, that's okay. Mm. Like, you're pretty sweet then from then on.
Yeah,
and then you get the call back, don't you?
What about if your singer can't make a gig? What is your position on that?
I mean, I used to get really, really annoyed back in the day. If someone just said they can't make a gig, I was just through the roof.
yeah, man, because all the hard work you put in. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'm just now like, let's just get a debt, let's just back on. Like, I'd like to think I work at such a standard where, like, especially the Manchester music community is quite strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all my friends or kind of associates of music, people go to jams, all that stuff. You know, I play or hang around with some really good players.
Yeah.
So I'm never, I feel like I've got kind of contacts in abundance anyway. So I'm not so frightened nowadays.
Mm.
I mean, some of the guys in the band are quite opinionated about some of the other people on the scene,
right,
which I disagree with. But, you know, you just got to crack on. It's a jigsaw puzzle. You're just trying to fit in the pieces and putting out fires.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, that's the thing.
Do you dep a lot for Penthouse?
We have now a position where, like you just kind of said, I have like at least two drummers outside of my main drummer, that deps, that know our repertoire. And again, like you were saying earlier, we try to record as much as possible. So on a live gig, I always record through like laptop, you know, the mix might be all right one night, it might not be. So I'll just always record, and then any tracks we like record from a promo, live promo, obviously I've got those individual tracks, so I can send a keys player or a drummer those tracks or whatever as much as possible. That's always what we've tried to do, and continue to. But yeah, so I have two drummers outside of my original drummer, who deps and knows our repertoire. And then we have two male singers now, and I have a list of deps, none of them I've used yet. And then we have two female singers, and female singers seems to be the sort of like most common singer, like easier to find the male vocalist, I should say.
So I've got a question actually.
Yeah,
so how are you finding having multiple singers as an option? Has your inquiries increased?
It hasn't changed inquiry wise. It's more for the effect that, like, when we first started, we were a five piece with male singer, and that was so we're all male band. And like I said a minute ago, like, we were struggling when he couldn't make a gig, everyone couldn't work. But then if my drummer couldn't work, I could find someone, you know, because we're playing mostly weddings. So you're selling your band or your product with that male singer as the face of it. And brides and grooms are always picking on the vocal. You could really replace anyone else in the band, and they're picking on other things as well. But I found it's really mostly the singer, and it was just like, what else can you do? And it's not fair on him, because like, you can't stop him from doing stuff and that whole like empathy thing. So we just decided to get another male singer, and make it, you know, it's just a group of musicians who all knew this repertoire, and then we could go out as that five piece male. Doesn't matter who the singer is; it's just the same quality. And we could go out as a five-piece with a female singer and have multiple options on that, people that we work with regularly and stuff like that. So now we've got to that point where we have a large group of people, musicians, who all know our repertoire. And, yeah, that's kind of like in and out, you know. So no one's held back or anything. If they can't do the gig, I'm not going to hold any grudges. It's like, cool, okay, just let me know in plenty of time. And my guitarist is really good, actually. He'll... If he can't make a gig, he'll let me know in plenty of time, and then he'll also find that depth for me, and then he'll teach him the repertoire as well. And I'm just like, it's fucking sweet, man. Like, you know, don't know how much that helps.
it's good. I'm a bit iffy in terms of being the band leader. I think where I can be a bit tough is that I'll just go and find a depth, but then I'm always been unsure. Like, if someone gives me a good depth first time, I'm like, well, fine, I'll trust you. But I don't, you know, it's... I think one of my biggest worries with depths... I've got my footsteps here.
Sure.
Like, we had a depth who came in on, like, a Thursday night, and we had a gig on a Saturday. And then the depth dropped out last minute, and I think she was just really scared. And then they're like, well, what do we do? Like, someone cancelled for us. We've got that gig sorted, but like, what do you do when a depth drops out in the last minute, you know?
Yeah. especially if it's a singer, like, it's really fucks things up. <You know? laughs> But if it's, it's difficult either way, but yeah, the singer especially. But, it is difficult. What else was I going to say? Is there anything you wanted to talk about? Like, any questions you had or anything before I crack on?
So it's like 90s R&B, isn't it?
Yeah, our band was mainly started with, 90s R&B, dance music, and a bit of garage music. And like you said earlier, like, there has been, like, an influx of garage music, so we just started adding more of that stuff. And then...
So if like, the band's going to change sound, where are you looking to go? Would you change the sound, or are you going to stick with...
No, I think, like, that's the difficult thing as well. This is a question back at you as well. We joined a load of agencies, and you know, you still do now and then, like, other ones that pop up. But a lot, are you guys with a live network? Or you ever worked with them?
No, I know of a live network.
Okay.
I think when I applied for those, for them even, I don't think our promo was good enough. We've just released new promo. I probably need to go have another apply. Because they're one of the biggest, like, my sister and two, a couple of my other friends are on there. Like, I've done some of their gigs depth-wise for other bands, but I'm not with them.
Yeah. Well, they're good. But, yeah, like you said, they're one of the biggest ones now. And when we first got with them, like, yeah, we had our own sound and style and stuff that we wanted to focus on, because it's like... They run so many bands, like, literally hundreds of bands on the website, and that's cool. But a lot of bands are the same thing. They're not in a niche. There are a few, but like, most. And when you speak to them, they're like, the most popular thing that sells is a 4-piece all male band that plays a lot of indie rock. I was like, okay, cool. Well, we're a 5-piece, and we're playing 90s R&B and like throwbacks to like shit that my age group. Late 20s, early 30s, grew up on. Like, it was on the radio and that kind of stuff. With those and maybe some other agencies, they don't really like you being a niche. It's really strange. And that's what I was saying. I don't know what you found. Obviously, The Alchemist is so niched. You know, you're that particular style.
This is what... I said before, like, The Alchemist, when we first started, like, we joined an agency called Freak, the first agency that we joined, we got inquiries every day. Like, we didn't convert, I think we only converted like 10%.
Right.
Still, nonetheless, being the only vintage band was such a...
Yeah, yeah.
Such a massive, but this is why I'm kind of like, because Scary Pockets said, like, becoming a thing. Now I'm saying this on your podcast as like a Gary thinks someone else
prediction
Scary Pockets fan, then it goes off. I'm calling it now. But you know, like, you've just got to keep an eye on trends, because I remember that day, like, or then like a few months of getting all them inquiries. I don't know if our content was good. You know, it was the first set of videos we did, few mistakes, but like now I know how to make a really good promo video and do all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm really hoping this time around I'm catching on a trend early, and we do take a lot of the gigs in that niche market. Like, people still look for it. Like, I want to really get to Facebook adverts soon. Like, it's so cheap to, like, you pay a couple of quid just for someone who's, let's say, from targeting The Alchemist, like, someone who's kind of middle-aged, wants a bit of a swing or a quirky party, and then you just throw in all the stuff that they're used to hearing.
Yeah.
Bit of Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive in a swing,
Yeah, man, quality. Yeah, I saw that just before we came on. I was like looking at your videos and stuff. It's quality, man.
But Bob, there's so many jazz swing bands now. We just don't get as much work as we used to. Man.
Yeah.
But I think niche is more important. I think
that's what I think as well. I do agree.
I need to talk to the. Or I will talk to the bands, the new band at some point. Like, having maybe two or three different bands with two or three different niches is probably a way to go in the future.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Good shout.
Because.
So go on.
But.
Yeah.
No, that's kind of where my chat short ended.
Yeah.
But I think like, as well, if you want to market a band in terms of ad spend and stuff like that. Like, I find it a lot easier to spend on Google AdWords a lot less money. If you try and buy words or terms such as, like, just function band, you're paying a good few pound a clip. However, vintage band or, you know, vintage swing, you know, very niche search terms, you're paying a lot less money.
Ah, cool.
Which, you know, if you are having niche bands, and if you have 3-4 niche bands in certain areas, I think you'd limit ad spend massively. But that's my thought there.
Yeah.
It's now putting that into practice.
Yeah.
Give my own advice.
That's it, man. If you guys found this video helpful, I really appreciate you subscribing. I'm trying to put out a video every single day on topics like this that can help you guys either build a function band, improve your function band, or just teach you some things about the music industry in general as a working professional musician. I'll leave it at that, guys. Take care. Penthouse 5. Go check us out and take it easy. See you on the next one.